We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
And Light Years listeners, welcome back. This week, Andy and I have a treat for you. We have Miloš Jovanović, writer for Mondo Sports, also host of a Serbian basketball podcast, here to discuss the Warriors hiring Dejan Milojevic as an assistant coach. Miloš, how are you doing?
Thanks for having me. I'm doing just great.
So let's start at the beginning here. So I'm going to take a guess that 99% of my listeners are not particularly familiar with
but they are curious. They
Serbian
are curious.
Basketball. Milojevic is known as the Serbian Barkley. Is that true when he was a player?
I've read that somewhere. I think there was a piece in The Athletic or something like today, which basically quotes him as the Serbian Barkley. When I was describing him to a mutual friend of ours, I think I said the Serbian Anthony Mason.
Okay.
Which is because Milojevic, when he came in through the youth ranks, he played for a lesser established Belgrade club when he was like 15, 16 years old. He was very raw. And Barkley had a certain finesse to his game, despite the roughness and the rebounding prowess which he had. But Milojevic was, you know, a very, very raw kind of guy. Basically, he didn't have good hands and he didn't have really smooth technique. His jump shooting was, let's just say, very interesting in the first. But he had the skill and he had the tenacity. I mean, the rebounding skill and a sheer tenacity. He would just run you over. Wikipedia says that, and I haven't verified this, but it says that he scored 140 points in a single U-train game, which I find, actually, I think that's entirely possible because I had the fortune of watching Milojevic play in his, what was probably his first true senior year on a top flight level in Serbian basketball, which was something like 98, give or take. And the guy really stood out. Because back in the day, we didn't really have those undersized power forwards, you know.
Right.
Your prototype European basketball of the era, which was mid to late 90s, was something like one point guard, two shooters, and two inside players. And we indiscriminately called those inside players centers. There was something like one point, two shooters, two centers. And he would play one of those centers, so to speak. But the guys, I mean, he's listed as 6'7". I really say he looks 6'5" to me, honestly. But the guy was so bulky, so muscular, and he would routinely out-rebound everybody else.
So on some level, and that makes sense, we say Anthony Mason. Anthony Mason and Charles Barkley are kind of, there's similarities there. Obviously, Barkley was the more talented and accomplished players, but they're both, honestly, you can even say Draymond Green in this category too. All three of them are undersized power forwards, who are generally the most aggressive player on the floor and maybe the smartest player on the floor at most times too. And they get by a lot on that combination of aggression, strength, and just kind of IQ. So what you're describing him as kind of a, you know, undersized power forward who made up for it with his strength and his tenacity and all those aspects, right?
Yeah, there's a good joke which I want to relay, because I'm good friends with his coach from his first club, who you might also remember, Aleksandar Džikić, who used to be an assistant coach in Minnesota Timberwolves under, I believe, Dwayne Casey, was it? But that was like something 15 to 20 years ago. But he coached Milojevic in his first club, and he would tell me that when people ask him what position is this guy playing, he would tell him he plays a six, but basically something like an upgraded five. So that he called it a six.
So Mihailović is he's been a sought after coach for NBA teams right now, and you know, that's good news for the Warriors, be able to get a coach who more than one team want to sign. Why do you think it is he is so sought after by NBA clubs?
Well, as you're aware, Milojevic was a head coach with Mega, which is right now is a household name, more so in American basketball than I would say in European, for simple reasons. Basically, it's been established as a stable of elite talents which are coming in year after year. I believe they have something like 12, 13 draft picks over the last, 10 years or something like that, which is big for a European program. And Milojevic as a coach is very much renowned for working with big men. So Mega as a club is not really a conventional sports club for Europe. And, normal clubs like Real Madrid, Barcelona, and so on and so on, they're typically asked to compete for the highest honors, to win titles, cups, whatever. With Mega, which is strongly affiliated with Miško Ražnatović, European basketball agent and one of the, power brokers of the EuroLeague, basically the goal is try to establish as much young talent as possible and then make the club exist year after year after year by basically selling them through and eventually getting fees from the NBA clubs.
So that kind of feeder club for bigger teams, essentially.
I would observe it as kind of a college program in the middle of European professional basketball scene. And this is their mission, and they're very successful at that. I mean, occasionally they will compete for the honors. They won a cup in the Serbia, and they played the finals of the Adriatic League, I think, in 2016. They will occasionally compete when they have a good crop of players. But they're mostly renowned for, launching individual talents. And one of them, of course, is the reigning MVP of the NBA, Nikola Jokic, who is a mega product. But also, when a certain player is, having an off year or is recovering from an injury or something like that, and if Ražnatović is his agent, he will get picked up by Mega to, get his career back on track, kind of. So Boban Marjanović is another one of those. He was basically down and out in 2013 or 12, I don't remember right now. He had a bad spell in CSK Moscow, and he was just, trying to get a place to latch on and refine his skills. So he landed with Mega, and Milojevic helped mold him into the guy we all know and love today. After that came Jokic, and then he worked with Zubac of the LA Clippers, Rade Zagorac, who had a short spell with Memphis, Timothy Luwawu, who's playing with FX Sixers right now.
Yeah. I guess I'm interested too, if we were Warriors fans, because you talked about it first, people that are coming off an off year or injury. Now, we've got a 19-year-old, 20-year-old kid that's coming off of both. One very good his rookie season, and he's coming off a meniscus injury. You mentioned that he coached Nikola Jokic, MVP, and Boban Marjanović, who's a good NBA center. Is he teaching certain things for a certain player? Or excuse me, is he teaching certain things to everyone, or is he just kind of helping different players as different use cases? Because Wiseman isn't either of those players. I don't think he'll be kind of – his skill set isn't of either of those guys, really. So I'm curious. The Warriors are obviously bringing this coach for him. Like, they can say whatever they want, but this is kind of what they're doing it for. And so I wonder kind of what is his style, right? Is he trying to turn Wiseman into someone else, or is he just saying, Wiseman, here's what you're good at, here's how I can help? Like, I'm curious what his mindset is as a coach.
I would go with the latter. If any prior work is serving as evidence, I would go with the latter, because he didn't really mold. I mean, Boban and Jokic are two very different players, obviously. Right. Right. And somehow he managed to get the best out of both of them in their own separate ways, so to speak. So yeah. I think what I should really single out here, because I know some players. When Milojevic was a player, he landed at Partizan Belgrade, one of the premium clubs in the region and one of the biggest European clubs of the past 30 or so years. He was considered a veteran player. I think that was in 2004. And a younger crop of players who would come after him, especially in the power forward and center positions, were looking at him to be mentored by him. And a lot of young players who went off to great careers say that he was a really an ideal kind of a teammate, you know, the kind of guy who's going to tell you, look, when you're, you know, when you're buying your first car, he's going to help you out. When you're trying to, you know, find a new flat, he's going to help you out, and all those kinds of things. So they just basically looked at him as a big brother kind of guy. And I think he successfully translated that skill of his, that, let's call it people management, into the professional coaching scheme. So I say he really knows how to find, you know, how to make something which a player already knows work best for him in a professional career.
And that's what we need.
That's ideal, yeah, because, that I mean, ideal. We all love Jokic as a player. He's excellent. There's not a lot of similarities between James Wiseman's skill set and Nikola Jokic's. So it's good to know. What is Milojevic's kind of temperament like? Because the second factor here is Steve Kerr's coaching staff has been largely the same for 5, 6, 7 years now. They're all kind of his buddies. This is like the first time they're kind of going outside of the bubble to bring in new voices. Yep. And I'm just curious how, what his temperament's like.
I think he adjusts to a situation. You probably ran his name through a YouTube, and probably the second clip is a brawl from 2000.
Yeah, I watched that this morning. Yeah.
Yeah. He was never a guy to shine. Well, I mean, as I said, as a player, he was extremely physical, and it was scary watching him because, I mean, there's this guy who's just, you know, like a tank. The guy's just running you over. He would routinely jump against, you know, 7-footers and steal rebounds of them. And as a player, he was very intense. And as a coach, sometimes you see that fiery side of him on sidelines. Of course, he won't really have many opportunities to do so. It is the NBA, of course. He will be an assistant, not a head coach. But they say that, you know, he's highly adjustable, I would say. And, you know, this being the NBA, probably the good old Serbian fire and brimstone approach is not something which you might want to look in a coach. But I'm pretty sure he will be able to unleash it if the situation calls for it.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I'm also curious in terms of, Sam mentioned coaching. So one step further, I'm interested in how he's going to teach kind of the coaching staff. Like, how is he going to deal with the coaching staff? Right. I think dealing with the players, what everyone thinks about, but how about Steve Kerr? Cause like Sam said, he's had the same guys around him for a long time. He doesn't really get challenged. He kind of does whatever he wants, and it's worked for a very long time, but there's a reason why this guy is now on the staff, right? There is a reason. And so I'm curious, is he going to be a person that's going to challenge Steve Kerr? Do you know? I mean, who knows, right? But do you feel like he's going to be someone like that, that says, hey, Steve, we should be doing this, right? And kind of make his point known. Because I don't think Bruce Frazier's that guy who's an assistant coach. I don't think Mike Brown's that guy. I don't think Jaren Collins is that guy.
Pal. It's a very intriguing question, actually. And I'm not sure if I can give you a very good answer
sure,
to it. Because
sure.
Obviously, you know, for somebody, I mean, he's not an unknown on the coaching circuit in the NBA. He did a couple of summer league stints and
seems very popular.
For the last 5 or 6 years, yeah. I would say that, you know, if you ask people around here, what would be Milojevic's best coaching post? And people would probably say an assistant in the NBA, something geared towards player development. He was supposed to cross over last year. Then, of course, COVID happened and so on and so on. So that kind of dragged out a bit. His ex-club even gave him a farewell game, which you might have seen on YouTube. Jokic participated. I think that was the first pictures of the famous skinny Jokic, which broke through. If you remember, yes. That was last summer, last June.
The gray jacket that's too small on him.
yes. I think those were the first public pictures of the skinny Jokic and at that farewell game, which he attended. And, you know, that kind of stalled and the mega changed coaches. So he finished off the season unexpectedly at his former club, Budućnost, which is in Podgorica down in Montenegro. And he lost the Adriatic finals, but he won the domestic league and he won the domestic cup. So he's kind of going out on a high, so to speak. I'm not sure, honestly, because as I said, he's not an unknown quantity in the NBA circles. But, you know, first time coach, and especially here, I mean, in Europe in general, and, you know, Sergio Scariolo, who was an assistant, I think, with Raptors for quite a while, he has just signed over for Virtus Bologna in Italy. And his first statement was something like, I can't wait there anymore because NBA doesn't want a European head coach, something to that extent. So coaches coming over from Europe to the NBA, I'm not sure if they're going to be all that mouthy in the first couple of years, of course. I'm not sure if I can give a straight up answer, but knowing Milojevic, you know, I said, you know, if you saw him play, I'm pretty sure he's not going to sit idle, but he's going to, you know, time his moments good. Let's just say,
read the room, as they like to say. That actually brings me to my last question I wanted to ask you guys. So you brought this up before. The culture around coaching in Serbia and Europe is fundamentally different than America. They have a little more power over there. Can you kind of describe what you view as the difference?
Basically, you know, they say that the NBA is the players' league and they say EuroLeague is a coaches' league. That's like a kind of age-old adage. And it's changing in the recent times. But me, you know, being 40 years old now, and I remember growing up with people who are in Hall of Fame right now, like Coach Ivković and Pešić, who won the World Cup in Indianapolis, beating the Dream Team and so on and so on. You know, all those guys were extremely unpleasant if you watch from the television set. Now, all of their former players are going to vouch for them and say, this guy taught me everything. But if you look at it from today's perspective, it looks, it looks pretty goddamn scary, I'm going to tell you. I mean, it's just like a bunch of guys screaming obscene. Think Bob Knight.
I was going to say, just a bunch of Balkan Bob Knights.
Yeah, exactly. Like Bob Knight on steroids. That's basically how it looked like. So this kind of coach, which we all love and cherish, is basically on his way out. And this was confirmed when Igor Kokoškov, a former Phoenix Suns coach, was appointed the new head coach of Serbia national team, and he appointed Milojevic as his assistant.
Even I know that name.
One of the assists. He's been around the NBA for a long while. Yeah. And he appointed Milojevic, which is one of his assistants, which says something in a way that, you know, the culture is changing within the Serbian national team, which was always kind of,
aggressive. The thing
which I just very aggressive and very, you know, if you spoke the language, it could... even if you don't speak the language, I think you can make what's going on the sidelines over there. But basically, him hiring Milojevic as one of his assistants on the national team spoke volumes that they're kind of changing the culture around a bit, and they want somebody who's more player-centric, so to speak, in his approach. Yeah.
So he's got more of a new school approach and not what you traditionally think of for European coaches being kind of a tyrant.
Yeah, he's considered kind of a mix. I've seen him bark out, chew out people on the sidelines. But I've seen him, you know, basically every... I haven't met a former player of his who's not, you know, singing praises of him. He's known to be in contact with all his former pupils, so to call them. I know he's tight with Jokic, with Boban as well, and all those other guys who are across the world. So I think he's an asset. If you're asking me, I mean, I think his skills are highly translatable to what's going on in the NBA. And let's face it, him running the program in Mega, I think he's in the right spot right now. I think he was priming for this for the last 5 or 6 years.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, I got two more names for you.
Go ahead.
And I want to hear your quick thoughts on each one. The first one, Alan Smilagic, and the second one, Nemanja Nedović.
Two warriors.
The European Derrick Rose, yes.
I was hoping you were going to ask me about Charles Jenkins, but okay, fine. Yes.
We throw him in there too.
We'll throw him in there too. All three.
Yeah. There's. I just spoke with Sam actually before. You know, Ognjen Kuzmić is still playing with Red Star Belgrade.
Kuzmić. How did I forget?
You know. Well, come on, man. The man won two rings in a season. You can't. You know. regarding Alan Smilagic,
key part of the Warriors title team, by the way.
Yes.
You know that they used to. That there's an age old joke in European football culture when somebody says he's a key player, that means he has the keys to the locker room. So I guess this is. I'm not sure if you meant it in that kind of context.
Oh, I did. I don't even know if he had the keys. Honestly, he would have been the custodian.
Yeah.
Oh man.
He's doing good. Right. I mean, he had a really rough couple of years with some personal issues, but he's doing fine right now. Regarding Smilagic, a bit of an enigma for us. Nobody really saw him play over here before. I mean, he was drafted for the Warriors. We're like, really? Who? But I think he's coming into his... I'm not sure about his contractual situation or if he's going to stick in the NBA, right? His name is being swirled around a couple of European clubs as we speak, including Red Star Belgrade, as a matter of fact. But, you know, he's being quoted as a, you know, reinforcement for the next year's EuroLeague. I don't know what his status is, honestly speaking.
He'll probably be back. I mean, he won't be back with the Warriors. He'll be in Europe is where he's probably
going to be. Sounds like it, yeah. I mean, I'm kind of intrigued by his skill set. He seems to have a really good footwork. He moves around very well, but he's still very raw. And probably, you know, NBA kind of club. I'm not sure NBA right now is a great place because he's probably going to spend more time in G League and maybe he wants to, you know, try himself in the Euro League and see how it works and maybe come back after he's more ready. That's one of the options. He has passed on playing for the national team this year, citing needs for individual improvement, which is all well and fine. I think he's looking for something, but really wish him all the best. That's all what I'm going to say. We haven't really seen much of him. You know, you can't see Santa Cruz airing in Serbia fairly often. And
it's hard enough to watch it over here.
Yeah, and he didn't really play many games for the Warriors. I've seen the one where he started, though. I stayed up to watch that. And if I remember correctly, he opened with a three-point shot. And then he bricked another six or seven. But that was a fairly fun game. I mean, I like him. There's a documentary about him on the Serbian television where he's, you know, they take him to his neighborhood in Belgrade. And he seems like, you know, very calm, relaxed kind of guy. Maybe not completely aware of everything going around with him at this age. But I think he's going to grow into an interesting player. I like the skill set. As I said, I like the mobility. And he kind of can grow into something very interesting. Regarding Nedović, famous for being the last ever person to leave the lips of David Stern as the commissioner. I think he was the last name of that draft of the first round, at least. So that's kind of a, you know, pub quiz trivia question, which we always fall back to. Nedović, a former Red Star player, me being a fan, of course, holds a special place for me. But I think he maybe had, you know, a better shot if he didn't land with the Warriors, which were obviously stacked at the backcourt at the time. He returned and played a couple of seasons in Spain, and he's really finding his zone now in Greece. He has massively improved his handles and his three-point shot, which was a big question mark. And I think now he's a very, you know, something like higher-end combo guard on the EuroLeague market. He's still quick. Had some issues athletic. With injuries, always has very athletic, but now his jump shot is far more better than what you might remember. So, you know, he's in the mix every year when his contract expires. He always speaks he would like to come back to Belgrade. Maybe now is the year. I don't know. Could be.
I like Nemanja. He was fun.
He recently got married as well. I'm not sure if you saw in the news, if that kind of news gets over to you. But, so let's use this to, you know, extend our congratulations. And, you know, he's in Athens right now, I believe, and haven't played in a while. Injury issues, but I think he's a lock for the national team if everything goes well, and he's probably going to be in a backup combo guard position. He's a popular player with the Serbian crowd. Basically, we haven't seen, as you said, the Serbian Rose. How did you call him? And that's
European,
that's
Derrick Rose was what European he was Rose. Was what he was advertised as when he came over.
He definitely has some of those Rose moves. Let's just put it like that.
I love it.
Could be an interesting player down there. I'm really looking forward, because he missed a couple of last national team trips, so he could really be an asset. You know, when that guy lights up, he can score like 15 in a couple of minutes, and that's something which every national team needs right now.
Right. And then Charles Jenkins. Let's hit on him for 1 minute before we go. Red Star legend, right?
Legend. Absolute legend. Played for 4 years, four seasons over three stints. Came in 2013, stayed until 2015, went over to Milan, came back for a year, went over to Moscow, came back for a year. All-around great guy, holds a Serbian passport, loves the country, loves the people. You know, he's one of the most popular imports which we ever had in this country. Tenacious defender, one of the best on ball defenders in EuroLeague, good 3-and-D guy, I would say. Really nice, down to earth kind of person. You know, we all love him here. So Charles Jenkins is a legend. And while we're saying, shout out to Marcus Williams, one of the best ever imports as well for Red Star, and another former Warrior. Let's just put it that way.
I'm trying. What other Warriors have been on Red Star? Who are we forgetting? We got Marcus Williams, we have Charles Jenkins, Kuzmic. We forgotten someone?
I do. Mm,
there's a possibility, but I can't say out of the bat. I don't know. I mean,
you don't know. I got
Sasha Danilovic was a Warriors draft pick, so that counts for something.
Yeah, I don't think he ever played on the Warriors, though.
Nah, he played for Miami and Dallas. Yeah.
We might have to get you back when the Warriors end up with Nemanja Bjelica. Sorry if he's
Serbian.
He's Serbian. Yeah,
he's Serbian.
Yes. If the Warriors end up with him, there's a shot at it this offseason. We'll have to discuss that one, because he's not a bad basketball player. He's better than all the names that we just talked about, for sure. He's good.
Yeah. They could use a big man who could shoot off the bench.
Yep. He's with the national team right now. I've seen some footage of him practicing this morning.
There you go. I bet he shoots like 60% from three. That line.
Yeah.
Because he's a good NBA line, three-point shooter.
He's a good NBA power forward, stretch four. Yeah, I agree with that.
He's good.
All right, Milos, we really appreciate your time. Tell our listeners where they can find your work if they're interested.
You can find my podcast on YouTube, and it's kind of difficult to transcribe. Just try looking for my name. That should be enough. But there's a couple of them in English as well. The aforementioned Charles Jenkins. If anybody wonders what Charles Jenkins is up to, there is a podcast with him. And there is a podcast with another highly rated import in the Adriatic League, Billy Barron. There's podcasts with Dave before, actually, in English as well. So there we go.
We'll put that in the description.
Yeah, we'll link it to our listeners. We appreciate you, sir.